Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-ah! I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. I don't understand how any decent human being, under any circumstances, can ever find it appropriate to attack, to hurt, wound, or kill innocent civilians, or to take hostages, or to torture people, or to militarize hospitals, schools, or other normally non-military facilities. Nor can I find it appropriate to desire to kill all persons of a race or faith. Yet Hamas and all the other terrorist groups in the Middle East all want dead Jews. How can anybody justify that for any reason? All these acts are pure evil, as are all those who do them and all those who justify them. My thoughts. Okay, joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is Marine Vet Skip Coriel, of course. Skip, we're getting close to Christmas. Have you been a good boy?
Ho, ho, ho. As far as you know, I've been an excellent boy, Colonel.
Good answer. If you don't know better, I ain't going to tell you. Here's what we have for you today. News and comments by the Colonel. I'm going to discuss our enemy, China. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. Navy vet Dr. Zudi Jasser will discuss the American Islamic Forum for Democracy. Then Dan Kish will address our needs for energy independence. Army vet Joe Ropp will tell us how Save a Warrior helps save warriors. And Air Force vet Amanda Winters will discuss selecting a firearm.
Hey, troops. Please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. Now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on the front lines of freedom, Skip. But first, I have a joke I think you'd appreciate.
I could use a good laugh today. Go for it, Colonel.
The rain was pouring and there was a big puddle out in front of the pub just outside a Navy base. A ragged old Marine gunnery sergeant was standing near the edge with a fishing rod and his line in the puddle. A curious young Navy fighter pilot came over to ask him what he was doing. Fishing, the old guy said. Poor old fool, the Navy officer thought, and he invited the ragged old Marine into the pub for a drink. As he felt he should start some conversation while they were sipping their whiskey, the smart-ass fighter pilot asked, "And how many have you caught?" "You're the eighth," the old Marine gunny said.
Yeah, you know, you guys, you joke about us Marines, but we're a lot smarter than we look, Colonel.
Yes, that is very true. It would have to be true.
Hey. That was a backhanded compliment, wasn't it?
It was. And now it's time for the news. Take us there, Skip.
China said a U.S. warship had illegally entered waters near an atoll in the South China Sea that is claimed by China, the Philippines, and others. China said it had sent a naval force to follow and monitor the USS Gabriel Giffords, a littoral combat ship, accusing us of raising tensions in the region. Our Navy rejected China's accusation, saying the USS Giffords was conducting routine operations in international waters in the South China Sea, consistent with international law. Every day, the U.S. 7th Fleet operates in the South China Sea as they have for decades, a public affairs officer told NBC News. Quote, "The operations demonstrate we are committed to upholding a free and open Indo-Pacific region," unquote.
Nothing new here. We are entitled to conduct operations in international waters, and China says the waters are theirs. It's been like that for years.
Well, Colonel, there's been some changes, though. It seems like China keeps expanding their oceanic borders, so to speak.
Yep.
They just keep moving out and moving out. And maybe that's why they need such a big Navy these days.
It must be, and we continue to ignore them, and that's something we're doing right.
The leadership at Minot Air Force Base in North Dakota warned airmen from going to the North Dakota Patriot Rally or risk jeopardizing their military career. The rally had this posted on their event website, The Fundamentals. A patriot believes in family, faith, and community. A patriot believes that all people are created equally, no matter the color of their skin. Patriot believes in taking individual responsibility and doesn't pass the buck to others. Patriot is grateful and will always honor and respect the sacrifice of others, ensuring our freedoms today. And a patriot believes in service over self.
Only an institution severely infected with leftist woke mind virus would think that an organization with these fundamentals are a threat and ban attendance? How can our military's leadership allow this to happen?
Maybe they don't want patriots in the military anymore, Colonel.
Got a good point. They're desperate, though. They need everybody, even patriots.
And two men accused of spying for Israel were executed in the West Bank with their bodies dragged through alleys before being hung from a pylon by a cheering mob. The two men were shot dead in the West Bank city of Tel Karm by members of the Palestinian armed groups. Palestinian journalists in the camp said the men were beaten and stomped on by residents before being hung up from an electrical tower and then dumped in a skip. Videos show hundreds of Palestinians crowding around the entrance of the camp and filming the violence with their phones. The two men were accused of helping Israeli security forces target Hamas in a raid that killed three key terrorists earlier this month, a Palestinian security officer said.
Clearly, the viewing Palestinians favored the torture and murder. So let's not call them all innocent civilians if they're killed by a raid by Israel. There was no justice, no mercy here. The so-called spies were not given a chance to defend themselves. All concerned are, what else can I call it? Evil.
And the Russian Federation has come to regret accepting large consignments of equipment and ammunition from North Korea. These military supplies, donated by Kim Jong-un's administration, have turned out to be fatal for several Russian soldiers. Primary cause of this appears to be inferior quality ammunition produced in North Korean factories. Reports of military equipment shipments from North Korea to Russian bases near the Ukrainian front started emerging in October 2023. The arrangement of arming the Russians by Kim Jong-un's regime began following a deal the North Korean leader struck with Russian officials during a visit to Russia. Although the quality of the equipment was subpar, it was intended to bolster the combative forces facing casualties at the front line. Now it seems this equipment may be directly contributing to their losses.
So Russia is finding that its friends in attacking free people and those who wish to protect their nation are as unscrupulous as they are? I'm not surprised that North Korea would produce or provide junk. I'm going to use that word again. The North Korean leadership is, yes, evil.
And Somali pirates fired two ballistic missiles at the USS Mason warship in the Gulf of Aden last month as it rescued an oil tanker held by the pirates. The Mason sent a helicopter after the fleeing Somalis, capturing them in Yemen.
I'm glad we have a presence in the combat area that is the entire Middle East, and I'm glad we're boldly protecting our ships and troops.
And Germany announced it would be freezing funding to the United Nations Relief and Works Agency, a body specifically dedicated to Palestinian refugees, amid reports it has distributed anti-Semitic material, incited violence, and had alumni who participated in the October 7 atrocities in Israel. Berlin has contributed nearly $1 billion to UNRWA in the last 5 years, making it the single largest donor to the agency, which has come under renewed scrutiny since the Israel-Hamas war began for its record of failing to prevent foreign aid from falling into the terror group's hands. UNRWA is not making a contribution to a peaceful solution, Max Lux of the Green Party said. Quote, not a single cent from Germany should reach teachers who glorify the terror of Hamas, unquote.
It's the UN's funding of schools in the refugee areas of Palestine that permits those schools to teach every student to hate and plan to kill Jews. That's been true for generations. I'm glad that Germany has finally seen the results of their funding. By the way, we supported it too for a lot of years.
And Colonel, there was no trace of Hanan Yablanka, not on the 42-year-old Israeli's social media accounts, nor on his phone, found in the bullet-riddled car he and four friends tried to flee in after Hamas militants attacked the music festival they were attending in southern Israel. The friends were killed in the October 7 attack, but nearly 2 months later, Yablanka's family still has no news about what happened to him. He is one of dozens of people still unaccounted for after Hamas infiltrated Israel, killing some 1,200 people and taking about 240 hostages. Some of the bodies of those who died were so badly burned in fires or explosions during the attacks that there's little left to identify. Others who might still be alive haven't been traced, forcing families to live in limbo.
This is not how honorable people fight a war or act. Hamas is pure evil. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing. We can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a vet, in getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. I encourage you to check CVAFrontlines.com. That's CVAFrontlines.com. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk Islam with Dr. Zudi Jasser. At ease, troops, take a break.
Fresh, flash, frozen from the American farmer every time. PatriotFoods.com, hit the shop now button. You're supporting a veteran family in need every time you shop. Look at us online, see how we give back. For the servicemen and women of this great country, we are fighting for the American farmer. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM, 10% off today, folks. Shop now.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I buy Patriot Foods. It's great. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your home defense tip of the week. Women should never walk alone in parks, parking garages, or other secluded areas. Rapists, murderers, and robbers look for the lone walker as it enhances their chance of success. Serial rapists need only one woman and will let two women pass on by. So bring a friend along for your walk. And don't forget to stay alert as you walk. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit HomeDefenseShow.com.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It is 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the Front Lines of Freedom all across America. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. War with China seems to be getting closer with each passing day. I hope it doesn't happen, but they're not backing down a bit. We just had a head bump in the South China Sea. So what would such a conflict mean to our economy? Well, for one thing, it would absolutely devastate our pharmaceutical industry. Here are some examples. The Chinese make over 90% of our antibiotics, approximately 70% of our acetaminophen, nearly half of the anticoagulant Hepartin. Overall, the somewhere around 80% of the basic ingredients that go into our pharmaceutical drugs come from China. Needless to say, if war with China erupts, we would be facing some immensely painful shortages very rapidly. According to author Rosemary Gibson, quote, within months, our pharmacy shelves would be bare, our health care system would cease to function, end quote. Can you imagine what our nation would look like if that happened? The food industry would also be turned completely upside down. In fact, even CNN reported that, quote, it's almost impossible to have a diet with foods that were not produced in China, end quote. On top of that, our ability to produce our own food would also be greatly impaired because China produces much of our farm machinery. We should have never become so dependent on China because that dependence really is a major national security threat. As we've been discussing on this show for some time, our nation needs to be food independent so that foreign nations can't hurt us by withholding food. And yes, we need to be energy independent too, as we were 4 years ago. Of course, the Chinese also produce a lot of our clothes, a lot of our electronics, and close to 70% of our shoes. I do wonder why we don't manufacture these in our nation, creating good paying jobs for our people. Anyway, the moment we go to war with China, the flow of inexpensive goods completely stops. Of course, China's income from selling these items would end too. In addition, once the Chinese invade Taiwan, there will be an absolutely excruciating computer chip shortage. It was recently projected that chip makers in Taiwan would have 66% share of the global market by the end of this year. That said, China's military, like its ally Russia, is totally inexperienced in actual combat fighting, so will likely be weak in many areas if the war comes to actual fighting. Today, in just about every industry in the United States depends on equipment that contains computer chips. If the flow of chips from Taiwan is eliminated, the entire global economy would come to a crashing halt. This is not just a recession or depression. This is an economic collapse on a scale that most people would never be able to comprehend right now. And China has already invaded our country. They've bought lots of our land and businesses. They're very, very involved in our schools at every level. There are hundreds of organizations of educational programs here called Confucius Institutes. They're nonprofit organizations run at our universities but funded by the Chinese government. They function somewhat like an academic department, offering Mandarin and Chinese culture classes, which is cool. But since 2004, the Chinese government has opened a lot of CIs here with mixed staffs of teachers, professors, and administrators from China and America. Views on CIs are mixed. Some see them as helpful tools for learning Chinese language and culture, an antidote to the rising tensions and distrust between the countries. But other China watchers and lawmakers feel differently. They, like me, argue that CIs expanded Chinese power and influence around the world, pushed pro-communist party views, influence American students, and stifle academic freedom. Further, we know that over the past 3 years, thousands of communist Chinese citizens have crossed our southern border illegally. I wonder why. Given all the other illegals from other nations that hate us, like Iran and Syria, might we not be about to experience some of what Israel has been living with for generations? Domestic terror? While China would lose a large part of their economy as we and other nations stop buying from them, they would not have many shortages, and their Navy is bigger than ours, even if it's not as high tech. Further, most of their Navy is very near their nation, while ours is spread all over the world. And their likely ally, Russia's Navy, Kilo-class submarines, were designed to have as little water resistance as possible, and the propulsion plant of the sub is isolated on a rubber base that doesn't even touch the hull. It's been nicknamed the Black Hole Submarine by our Navy because of how extremely quiet they are. Thus, they're very capable of sneaking up on our coastlines without us even realizing they're there. And their Poseidon is actually a submersible drone. They can drive it underwater for up to 5,000 miles. It'll arrive wherever and park there till they set it off. Yes, Russia's army is clearly incompetent, but their Navy, not so much. So, what does our ability to defend ourselves look like? Well, when members of our army were asked if their units were ready to fight, the survey results were depressing. Only 14% of the respondents said their units were ready to deploy immediately and fight anywhere in the world. I mentioned our Navy. Right now, it has only 296 ships, down from 594 under President Reagan, about half. We've often discussed the huge recruiting problem our military is having. Part of the problem is that today's youth is not in good physical condition, and part of it is the total lack of faith in our military leadership. 4 years ago, our nation was energy independent. Indeed, we were exporting oil. We haven't been food independent in generations, since during and after World War II, when we basically fed the good part of the entire world. We need to be able to feed ourselves, not being the subject to the whim of foreign nations like we are now. And there's medicine. I don't know if we have the time to even begin to turn things around now. I'm quite certain that we don't have the leadership to do it, if it were possible. I sure hope I'm wrong. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have this week, Roland?
About 2 weeks ago, over 1,000 Christmas trees are loaded up on the 240-foot Coast Guard cutter Mackinac to be sailed from northern Michigan to Chicago and then donated to families in need. It's an annual tradition that's been more than 100 years in the making. It first started as a homage to a family who made the trip for decades, starting in the late 1800s, buying trees in northern Michigan to be sold in Chicago. Over the decades, they became known as the Christmas Tree Ships and were easily recognizable as the three-masted schooners came into port with Christmas trees tied to the main mast and the decks, of course, loaded with trees. The two brothers who ran the business both lost their lives in separate Lake Michigan storms in 1898 and in 1912. In 2000, the Coast Guard and the Chicago Marine community formed the Chicago Christmas Ship Committee and began raising money to purchase trees for families who couldn't afford them. Just before Thanksgiving in Sheboygan, Michigan, scouts, high school students, and crew members load the Coast Guard cutter Mackinac with over 1,000 six-foot trees. Then the ship heads out for its annual 600-mile journey to replace and maintain buoys on Lake Michigan, ending up in Chicago usually in early December. After the Mackinac docks at Navy Pier in Chicago, volunteers string 8,000 lights on its railings, and hundreds of kids get to tour the ship before they start to unload the trees the next day. The volunteers grab one tree at a time and send them down a makeshift chute to be loaded onto trucks for delivery. You know, since 2000, The all-volunteer organization has given away more than 24,000 trees to poor individuals and families. And the Christmas tree ship has become one of the most recognized symbols of the holiday season in Chicago. But for Alliance of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. I enjoy your comments. Straight ahead on Front Lines of Freedom, we'll talk Islam with Dr. Zudi Jasser. Then we'll talk energy independence with Dan Kish. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. You're standing tall with the Front Lines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for some boxing. Box three rounds. Take a break, box another three. Then stand at ease.
Veterans have unique health care needs from their time in service. They deserve access to timely and quality care.
Concerned Veterans for America continues working to get veterans the care they have earned.
We were instrumental in getting the VA Mission Act signed into law, and we fight every day for more reforms that expand healthcare access and options for veterans everywhere.
Visit CVAfrontlines.com to learn more and join the movement. That's CVAfrontlines.com.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome back to the show Dr. Zudi Jasser. He's a religious and political commentator and a medical doctor specializing in internal medicine and nuclear cardiology in Phoenix, Arizona. Zudi's a former lieutenant commander in our Navy, where he served as a staff internist attending our Congress. In 2003, with a group of American Muslims, he founded, or one of the founders, of the American Islamic Forum for Democracy, based in Phoenix, Arizona. He has since got involved with, he'll have to tell us how, with the Muslim reform movement. He's also a contributor to an international media, where he has advocated separation of mosque and state and spoken against the ideology of political Islam or Islamism. In 2012, he was appointed to serve a two-year term on the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom. Busy guy. Welcome, Zudi. Thanks for joining us again.
It's great to be back, Danny. Thanks for having me.
Zudi, as I recollect, you were born and raised here in the U.S., right?
Yep. Born in Ohio, but all of my formative years were in Wisconsin, in Appleton, Neenah area, and went to undergrad in University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee and medical school there on a Navy scholarship.
Okay. Tell us about your time in the Navy.
It was just amazing. I did obviously active duty training while I was a medical student in the summers. And then my first billet was as an intern at Bethesda Naval Hospital. Then selected to be a general medical officer on the USS El Paso. Was part of Operation Restore Hope. I joined my ship on its return from that operation in Somalia. And then I came back to finish my residency in internal medicine at Bethesda Naval and was then selected as chief of residence. And my last tour was as a physician to Congress, the attending physician's office that takes care of all of the members of Congress and the Senate and the House, and also the justices. Supreme Court justices is a Navy clinic. There are two internists that work for an admiral there. And I had the honor of passing all the vetting for that and being able to be a physician to them. You may recall on July 24th, 1998, there was a crazed terrorist that shot his way into the Capitol, Russell Weston Jr., and I was the only first responder with four other corpsmen on that day and tried to resuscitate a number of police officers that were killed around Tom DeLay's office at the time, which was only yards from our clinic.
You know, we've been friends a lot of years, and I didn't know that story. So, you did not have a boring time in the Navy, it sounds like.
No, not at all. It was amazing. And you know, I didn't want to have any regrets in life, so I was sort of on the fast track in the Navy, but then my dad's partner here in Phoenix was retiring, and I wanted to work with my dad, so I joined my father in practice in primary care here in Phoenix, Arizona in 1999, right after my wife and I got married on Valentine's Day in 1998. And actually, some of that is in my book, A Battle for the Soul of Islam. You know, I think my personal history is important because, you know, so often people think that the faith of Islam is this global political movement, and there are 1.7 billion Muslims in the world, and each of us has very different pathways to God. And ultimately, I thought it was important to personalize how Americanism, if you will, gave me the freedom to practice my faith more freely than in any Muslim majority country I could have ever done.
Yes, sir. Matter of fact, I think we reviewed that book 3 or 4 years ago on this show, didn't we?
Yes, we did. It's still doing well. Thank you.
Okay. I think probably the biggest thing that has Islam in it right now is the war in Israel. You know, I don't know the faith of all the people that I know. I don't ask people that. But of the few people I know that I know are Muslims and Americans are just people of faith like me. It's a different faith than mine, but they're good Americans, and well, you're a good example. On the other hand, right now, all we hear about in the media is Islam and terrorism in the same, almost one word. That's not accurate, it's not fair, and it sets us up to have a bias that we shouldn't have. Can you speak to that a bit, please?
Yeah, you know, that's a really important question, but I hate to use a tough example, but, you know, at the time that the Nazis committed the atrocities, you could make the argument that a majority of Germans rejected Nazism and fascism, but ultimately they were silent. And right now, when it comes to our legacy as a collective, if you will, and while Islam has characteristics to which, you know, I as a Sunni Muslim, for example, reject clergy, and the word imam means teacher, it doesn't mean clergy, and yet most of the world's imams see themselves as clergy, as intermediaries between God and individual Muslims, when in fact, that's not the reality. It's more like what rabbi means in Hebrew. But ultimately, the Hamases of the world and the Irans, the Khomeinists, the royalties in Saudi Arabia and elsewhere, and the men with beards that are running the show in countries of hundreds of millions of people across the world, ultimately, Islam has a cancer, and that cancer is top down. Most of the petro-Islamic powers, if you will, have been fed, fueled by two things. One is the money that's being dumped into theocracy and theocratic movements, but two is the ideology itself. And the ideology itself, Islam, is only 1,444 years old, and it has not gone through an enlightenment, a process that ultimately created the Western secular democracies. And that process needs to reject theocrats. And if you look in Christian history, the bloodiest times in history of war were in the 30 Years' War. And this is where Islam is today. It's the, you know, you see what Hamas did, and it, even animals wouldn't do that. This is just horrific barbarism that was done to the women and children and in the name of faith. And actually, believe it or not, that the imams of Hamas claim that they passed a religious fatwa ruling that it would be okay for them to gang rape women as they were going into war there. And that I just can't tell you how nauseating and disgusting that is as a human being. And Muslims need to not only speak out against that, but become realistic and understand that this is interpretations. Hamas's constitution calls for the killing of Jews, calls for genocide in their constitution, and cites hadith, Islamic scripture, of the Prophet Muhammad. And we need to deal with that. We need to defeat it. It needs to be pushed back against, not only ideologically, but physically. And there needs to be a civil war against it. And that's what our coalitions of our Muslim reform movement and others are trying to do.
You know, that's something that we just don't hear today, at least in our media. And yet the people that I know, like you, are, I don't know that I could say the same words you did, but they make the point that terrorism is terrorism and it's evil and it doesn't have anything to do with Islam, but the terrorists tie it to Islam, but that doesn't make it so. And even at that, every faith system I know, not just Christianity, but all the denominations within Christianity, are all a bit different from each other. But we Americans need to realize that Islam is a faith system and that there are those who are terrorists who are Muslims, but that doesn't mean the two go together. It just, it's there. Am I saying this right?
Yeah, well, you're giving a little more credit than we deserve. There are, you know, obviously my Islam is not only not Hamas's Islam, but I'm trying to defeat their Islam. But to say that they're equal is a bit of a stretch in that 90%+ of the books of Islam, which are Islamic jurisprudence and Sharia texts, are all about the militant version. There's very few publishing houses that are publishing modern interpretations. There are some reformists that we work with, and you know, like Abdullahi Naim, who is a professor out of Emory University. There's Fatima Mernissi out of Morocco, who is a wonderful democratic liberal thinker. There is Masih Najed out of Iran, who's leading the women's movement. So there's many, many scholars, but to say that their books are all over the world and are another form of Islam, there's nobody funding that. There's no, you know, we don't have the petro-Islamic trillions behind us. The Saudis are not funding reform because that would mean the end of their regimes. Same thing with the Assads and the Khomeinists and the El-Sisis of the world. As much as they are, some of them are against the Islamist movements, they certainly aren't helping modern reformists. So we have a lot of work to get the fuel, the books, the speeches, the movements. We're all sitting protected well in Western secular democracies like America and writing and complaining, but we don't have a movement that's palpable enough to say that, well, okay, that's their Islam, but here's our other Islam. It really hasn't. Some of us have been screaming from the rooftops, but it's not palpable enough at all.
Well said, sir. There's more to discuss about Islam in America, indeed Islam, and Zudi is going to stay with us. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. Yeah, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do, well, a couple of times a week. Then take a break, but stay in the area. We'll be right back.
This hour of Frontlines of Freedom is brought to you by HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net is an online resource and information center dedicated to the welfare of those who have sacrificed for the freedoms, ideals, and morals we Americans hold dear to our hearts. At HelpVet.net, find information on benefit-related issues from education, healthcare, military pay, retirement, VA loans, and resources on education, finance, legal, health and wellness, the military life, moving and housing, travel and entertainment, and much, much more. Visit HelpVet.net, HelpVet.net.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're continuing our conversation with Dr. Zudi Jasser. Zudi, you made the point well that the, shall we say, civilized version of Islam just doesn't have the money and doesn't get the publicity and books and that sort of stuff that the radical side does. But that doesn't mean there's not a lot of Muslims like you, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, there's no doubt that my Islam did not come out of thin air. My father has a translation of the Quran that really gives you a different interpretation of the same Arabic script than the radicals have. And, you know, that's his interpretation. And many Arabic scholars have come to the same interpretation. I personally believe, you know, Israel, for example, is a legitimate state in the Quran. The fifth chapter of the Quran talks about the legitimacy of Israel that most Saudis and others ignore and have dismissed as historical rather than relevant to today. So there's a lot of different interpretations that need more fuel, need more backing, and also need some activism. You know, many Muslims, unfortunately, are sitting in the comfort of their homes and not taking the energy and worried about legacy work that needs to happen so that other versions of Islam, just like the West, whether it was the reformist of Martin Luther himself or of other libertarian-minded folks from the Calvinists to others, these movements have not gotten a lot of legs in the Islamic world. And it's time for, you know, Muslims to say, listen, if we are Muslims against Hamas, Palestinians against Al-Qaeda and ISIS and Hamas and the Muslim Brotherhood and all of these radical movements, because the worst thing for the Palestinians is Hamas, and they're occupied by Hamas, not by Israel. So it's about deferring and deflecting apologetics and not blaming everything on somebody else and victimology. And that's why now you see this cooperation between the far left extremists of, you know, sort of what we call the red green axis between China and Iran or Venezuela and Iran and the Islamists. They're working together against America. They have common enemies, even though they share very little values. The Chinese in their own country are slaughtering Muslims of the Uyghurs, but yet globally they're working with the Islamists to defeat the West and defeat Western democracy.
Yes, sir. I agree with what you said. I know that you're involved with the Muslim reform movement. Is this all related to what you're talking about now?
Yeah, it's part of it. We have a diverse coalition that's not related to party politics, not related to left or right. We just share a mission about defeating political Islam. And that was formed in 2015 with 20 different organizations. And now it has grown to 40, 45 different organizations. But we also formed a new group that met in Austria. I was in Salzburg, Austria last October 2022 after the pandemic. And we formed a coalition called Clarity, which stands for Champions of Liberty Against the Reality of Islamist Tyranny. Champions for Liberty Against the Reality of Islamist Tyranny. And we said, you know what? We Muslims can't seem to get enough fuel by ourselves. We need supporters in the West that would recognize that, yes, Islam has a problem within it. We are going to work with who our allies are internally and take sides within the House of Islam. And sure enough, we found people from Hudson Institute, Middle East Forum, many counter-jihad thinkers and pundits and policymakers, former politicians in the West that have come and started to learn about our declaration against jihad, against political Islam. And you see now, you know, trying to push back to provide an alternative, as you see Wilders, who now has recently won election in the Netherlands, that's part of the nationalistic response to a lack of solutions that exists. And I think part of the solution is to form coalitions like this Clarity Coalition that we formed.
That makes real sense. You know, I'm so glad we're having this conversation because there had to be these kind of activities going on in our nation and in the world, but they're not even remotely mentioned by right-wing, left-wing, anybody ever. And one of the big, horrible things that's coming out of this war against Israel is there's a whole bunch of anti-Semitism coming out, which is there a lot anyway. We don't need anti-Muslim bias. I mean, we judge individual by themselves, but we don't need bias. And I'm afraid that we are headed that way. And I'm delighted that we can have this conversation to keep it from happening. What else is going on?
Well, you know, listen, I think I realize that as much as I testified to Congress so many times on various issues like anti-Semitism, and we were calling out the issue of anti-Semitism back during the Black Lives Matter movement, saying, listen, the heads of these far left radical movements separate from Muslims are anti-Semites, like the Louis Farrakhans of the world. The head of the Women's March was a virulent anti-Semite. And now people are starting to realize how it joins with the wokeism. But I still find that there's a deep ADD, attention deficit disorder, that exists in Washington. And, you know, I think one of the things I want to do before my life is over is not, you know, in order not to have any regrets, is see if I can do any change in Washington. So here in Phoenix, I've decided, as of a few weeks ago, we put our hat in the ring to run for Congress. I'm running for CD4, and my website is z4az.com, z4az.com. And our platform is about economic growth, stopping the hemorrhaging at the border, stopping all of the mechanics that weaponized the profession of medicine last year. And with the border, for example, yesterday as a vet, I can't tell you how horrified I am that over 160 counters with illegals at the VA have been countenanced by the Biden administration to provide free health service to foreigners, to illegals, on the backs of the vets. And one of the things I want to see stopped is that kind of nonsense that's being done by the rubber stampers for the Biden administration in Congress, and begin to end this ADD. And then from the national security level, again, I think I can be the antidote to the Ilhan Omars and the Rashida Tlaibs, who are just militants, as you have in your backyard there in Michigan, a woman that has clearly called for the complete annihilation of Israel, which is a call for genocide. She's defended terror organizations like the Students for Justice in Palestine, that on their website has praised the resistance of Hamas on October 7. So I think it's time for Americans to see a Muslim in Congress that is not only not an apologist, but will take on the Ilhan Omars and Rashida Tlaibs head on and begin to look for America first, our vets first, and not foreign political Islamic movements first.
Well, I could not agree more with you, and I'm delighted that you're going to take all the things you've been active in and take it to Washington and try to pound some common sense into some of the people there. We desperately need that. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Dr. Zudi Jasser. So, Zudi, what can the average American or the average American Muslim do to help bring clarity to our nation to understand the challenges that Muslims in our country and around the world face if they're the normal average human being who is a person of faith and doesn't hate everybody. What can we do? How do we get active to support that?
Yeah, I think you need to talk to your members of Congress, talk to your university professors, talk to local media, religious institutions to have conversations about the need for moral clarity. You know, when I was watching, I don't know how I got stuck watching it, CNN interview, this Congresswoman Jaipal, and Dana Bash asked her, she said, how can Israel not respond the way they're responding based on the fact that women were gang raped and all this happened? And her response was, but you don't understand what the Palestinians are going. I mean, it's almost as if not only is there a disconnect, it's as if Palestinians are not human beings that have moral agency. I mean, even if you're in a prison, prisoners still have moral agency. And their prison is from Hamas, by the way. But even if they are in a prison, they still have moral agency. It doesn't then allow anybody to dismiss the fact that they should be in a just war against them until Hamas is completely defeated. So we need, as Americans, to look back at what's our legacy going to be. Have we lost completely our moorings and our bearings? Have we lost what it means to be American? We're seeing our ships attacked in the Red Sea. We're seeing terror organizations spreading. So if every American listening to your program wants our future to be the destruction of this country and the breakdown of what we are and the leadership role we have, then by all means, re-elect Biden or more of this red-green alliance. If you want a future that's bright for our children, where we lead through strength, where we stop the appeasement and we begin economic growth, sealing the border and stopping the weaponization of medicine and healthcare, as we saw in the pandemics, then I think it's time to get more conservatives elected. And people can see my site at zforaz.com.
Zforaz.com. Zudi,
yes.
Thank you for your excellent comments. Thank you for your love of our country and your service to our country. Thank you for being my friend. God bless you.
Perfect. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking energy independence with Dan Kish. Then Joe Robb will present Save a Warrior, and Amanda Winters will discuss selecting the right firearm. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our self-defense report. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom Troops. It's time for pull-ups. Do 30 good ones. Grab some protein, rehydrate with water, and finally put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.